Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lake.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Shalom, beloved sisters. Bless you all. Greetings to the household of faith. I'm your host tonight, Sister Ashley. I hope that you have had a wonderful week, a inspired week, and a convicting week. I pray that you're closer to the Father than you were last week, and I thank Him for His breath, strength, and life. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be in the land of the living. I'm right here in Tennessee, and Mother Jennifer, our mother, second mother in Israel, is in Georgia. Let's get a sound check, Mother Jennifer.
Shalom, and blessings to you all, daughters of Zion. Blessings to you, Sister Ashley. It's good to be here for another episode of Sister to Sister. I pray that everyone can hear me. I'm in the process of pulling the chat room up, and it looks like we've got some tens coming in, so we're good to go, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I thank the Father for His move of the Spirit, for all the healings, for His presence in the ministry. I thank Him for increased faith within my own self, my family, everything He's doing within the ministry to each of you, everything He's doing inside your body. I'm thankful for I'm thankful that each of you are following your husbands to the best of your ability. I pray you are. I pray you're running for your life, that you're not growing, that you're not becoming stagnant, but that you're growing in grace and in the knowledge of the faith of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to thank him so much for my family, every person here on the land that has been, you know, huge supporters of my husband, husband's house, just, you know, being able to grow close to somebody and grow close to a family here on this earth. It's really all that I have, all that I have in this life. First, chiefly, is the Messiah, and then my family. That's it. That's what I live for. So I'm glad to be a servant amongst the land of the living. I'm thankful for my husband, for his example, his work ability, his resistance to sin. You know, he committed his life. If you haven't heard his story, he committed his life to the Father in his early 20s. And, you know, after the age of 50, he's still running just as hard, if not harder. He's been a great example to me and I hope to some of you. I've always said, you know, reach out if you want to know your deacon. You know, just approach him. He's very approachable if you have questions. I've always said that some people will come to me and say, you know, can you ask Deacon so-and-so? And I'll say, sure, I can, but feel free to ask him yourself. You know, he's your deacon too. And he wants that, you know, I don't know. He wants those relationships, so all things in order. But just really thank him for his presence in my life, for being a father that he is to his boys. I'm thankful to all the leadership, chiefly our shepherd, for his sacrifice. There's no fault in him, you know. His love is never in question, as I've always said. I love him as a father, though he is a shepherd and a minister before me. Really an apostle to me, a man of great power, miracles, signs. He carries the message of the gospel, a messenger of peace, you know, many, many titles that he carries. Greetings to his family, to everyone who supports him and loves him, everyone who lifts him up by staying on your knees. It delighted me, my Muncie, it delighted me to see your son, hallelujah, as a mother. I can only imagine the delight. And hopefully, I know you as a serious woman, you love to see fruit. So, hallelujah, may he bring forth fruit. Mother Jennifer, thank Yah for you, for Georgia, for the great supporters, those who really step up and meet all the, just meet all the criteria that we lay out as we say, hey, the feast is coming. Can you bring this? Can you do this? You know, all those who are sending the things for the Be a Blessing, I just have all the joy in my heart tonight and tons of gratefulness. I'm very grateful and indebted to the ministry to serve my life. You know, to lay down my life for the people. And I pray that in this life, that'll be each of you, that'll be each of your testimony about me. As a community here, my sisters, we lay down our life. We've given all. You know, we don't have weekly paychecks to give. So we don't carry the entitlement mentality. I'm not owed anything. I truly live a life in debt. So I'm so thankful to be able to get it paid for here and now. And to show the Father how much I love him here and now. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Most High Yah through his victorious Son, Jesus Christ, in whom I am also victorious. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, please share your heart.
Hallelujah. I want to first acknowledge the Most High Yah for his loving commitment, his loving kindness that he continually bestows upon us. And I just want to really give my gratitude and my thanks for him teaching us what it truly means to suffer long, what long suffering is. You know, he's really shown us immense long suffering. And I'm grateful to really start to get an understanding of what true love is. So grateful to have such a strong support of women, sisterhood here in Georgia. And not only Georgia, but the other communities that are around as well. It was an honor to be able to create such a bond with the Florida women, the Florida sisters. And, you know, I'm grateful to the Most High for what he is doing in those Florida saints, in the Florida sisters. They're very serious about the Father. So I'm so thankful to him for sisterhood and finally understanding and knowing what that means. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, a man who rules his home well, not with an iron fist, but really with love. It just takes love and obedience, and, you know, he truly has shown that. I'm thankful for his seriousness and his commitment that he has to the Most High Yah, for serving him without any hypocrisy at all. He doesn't require anything from us that he's not willing to do himself. And I just want to say that his example in my life has just made such a major difference. And even, you know, in the entire community here in Georgia. And finally, to our shepherd, Pastor Dow, for the love that he has for the Most High Yah, the example that he continues to set. And yes, Sister Ashley, it was an honor to see our shepherd baptize Mother Muncie's son today. You know, the work of the ministry, I understand that it never ends. And I'm so thankful that we have a shepherd who is a cheerful giver, who loves to give all the time. He never complains, never murmurs in serving the Most High Yah. So blessings to Pastor Dial and to his entire home. And that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. With the feast quickly approaching, we will talk a little bit about some of the announcements or the things that are happening and going on. We will open up the phone lines, Yah willing, and we also will answer a couple of emails. The question and answers have been doing really well. I did have an awesome suggestion to do a show topic on, you know, female reproductive organs, birth, stillbirth. Miscarriages, generational curses on the womb, things like that. I think that's a really awesome idea. It's something that's been in my mind since I was asked it, and I hope to, you know, going forward in the weeks to come at the right time, give you guys a lot of that information on anything from ovarian cancer to osteoporosis, infertility, you know, sexual health problems, cystic fibroids or fibrosis, bacterial infections. The list goes on and on. You know, each of you know what your body is bound by. If you've claimed menopause, you know, and you've laid claim to that in your body, if you've allowed those things to happen, there's freedom. There's freedom for you in the Messiah, in obedience. I've been greatly healed in my body more than one time, probably more than 100 times, if I can say it and be honest. So I pray that that's your same story. You know, Paul says, you know, you wish that you would prosper, be in health, you know, even as your soul prospers. The truth, as you come out of the world and you change your attire, it represents a changed heart. And when your heart is changed, there's fruit that follows that, you know, a changed mind. And you start thinking differently and seeing differently about everything. Hallelujah. And I pray that the requirements that the Father has laid upon you, I pray that you're finding his strength within you to meet those requirements. It is possible. All things are possible. I guess I can say that next week, Mother Jennifer, is the Feast of Trumpets. Now, if I can teach you just for a moment how to read our calendar that is so perfectly typed up and made, but because of the Gentile-Roman conflict with the Hebrew understanding of evening and day, just for a second, stay with me. If you see on the calendar that the Day of Atonement or the Feast of Trumpets is on a particular day, remember that day, according to Hebrew, begins in the evening. So it's always the evening before. I'll give you an example. Thursday, the 17th of September. And this is subject to be corrected if our elders, if I explain this wrong, this is how we've always done it. Thursday, September 17th, on our calendar, straightwaytruth.com, is the Feast of Trumpets, September 17th. Okay, so the Feast of Trumpets, you're going to look at it and go, okay, 17th day is the Feast of Trumpets. That's correct. But guess what? The night before, the evening going into the day, is the Hebrew custom. The evening and the morning were the first day. Go over to Genesis and check it out. So every day starts with the evening. So Wednesday night, the 16th, according to the Romans, that's when we would be blowing our trumpets. And then that day is the Feast of Trumpets. I hope that makes sense. So Wednesday night, September 16th, you will potentially, if I'm correct, you will see us gather in here or gather outside, however Pastor may orchestrate it, as he always does. Same with the Day of Atonement. Okay, so on our calendar, you're going to see that the Day of Atonement is on the day Shabbat, the 26th. If I'm correct, we have always, evening first, we celebrate the Day of Atonement. It comes in on Friday night, September 25th. Okay, so we collectively will not eat or drink September 25th at nightfall all the way through the 26th Shabbat. He'll still preach the message, y'all willing, and we go forward with the Day of Atonement where we afflict our souls. You can find that in Leviticus 23. My husband's house, as of a 3-year-old and up, he makes them fast water and food. That's his custom for his family. That's not a custom that I'm telling you is a ministry custom. Your husband has his own children. So you will, you know, get his instructions unless our shepherd gives us legitimate directions, you know. To this date, he's never said them, but he expects you to follow Yah's given laws and feasts. Hallelujah. So that'll be a, as some people will say, is it okay if I'm nursing or pregnant? Naturally, is it okay? I'm not a doctor or physician. Absolutely. One day, 24 hours without food or water, no matter if you're nursing or pregnant, is not going to harm you at all. Will your milk supply slow down? Yes, but it'll still produce all day. It's just a 24-hour time period. If your husband doesn't want you to fast, then you obey him. Okay, I'm just giving you a natural thought there. Okay, so I'm going to see a lot of you in 18 days. Mother Jennifer, I'm going to see you in 19 days. I think you're coming to September 29th, right?
Yes, Sister Ashley, that is correct. And if I may, I just wanted to add something about mothers who are nursing. You know, you don't wait until the day before to hydrate yourself. You know, you need to be making sure that you are hydrated now. Make sure that you have what you need, the proper electrolytes in your body, so that your body is hydrated now. So when Day of Atonement comes and you're not eating and you're not drinking, then you don't experience dehydration. So it's not a thing where you can hydrate yourself overnight and then think that you'll be okay for that. Well, you will be okay, actually, but just be wise about it if you're nursing. Just make sure that you're properly hydrating right now. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So in 18 days, the land is open for many of you to arrive here, September the 28th. Hallelujah. If you look at our calendar one more time on straightwaytruth.com, you're going to see that the first Day of Tabernacles actually starts on October 1st. Okay, that's the first day. What did I say earlier? The evening and the morning were the first day, right? So it's going to start in the evening of the 29th. If I'm wrong, I will be corrected, and each of you can change your dates. But I'm just reading this calendar the way I've been taught. So the first Day of Tabernacles is going to be October the 1st, and we're going to kick it off. There's two high Sabbaths, and a lot of you have called. A lot of you are coming. And just briefly in the first few minutes, however long it takes us, we're going to just I'm going to communicate some of the logistics that go behind the scenes. I've had compliments from sisters who say they like to hear it, you know, and some even ask questions. We also had a email. Is there any other acknowledgments or things that we should suggest before we just get into some of the tabernacle lingo? Mother Jennifer?
I think we've covered it all, Sister Ashley. I think we're good to go ahead.
All right. Will you pull up the Straightway Help Meets email? If you don't know about our email, you can go there. It's all lowercase, straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com. We try and we do get back to you literally within 24 hours. Sister Hadassah runs all these emails through Mother Jennifer or myself. I'll pass them up to someone if need be. We just try to handle a lot of the questions that are not weighty, you know, that are not needing on the leadership. If you just need another sister, another woman, that we're here for you. And Sister Hadassah is faithfully checking them every day, getting the emails where they need to go. So thank you, Sister Hadassah. If you'll just read the first question, we'll break it up in a few parts. You had a couple of different questions, Mother Jennifer. You know where to stop. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, so the first question is, this sister said that she has an overall question about what a day, what a typical day looks like at Straightway during the Feast of Tabernacles for sisters, such as meals, volunteering, or work around the land, activities, worship, fellowship, and et cetera. So I'll stop there and we can cover that first, and then I'll go on.
Hallelujah. So what we've done, and we'll get to this the day, what a day looks like. What we do is we produce a Be a Blessing based off of the needs for the week, for, you know, the longevity, let's say 8 to 11 days where we have a large amount of people coming. I'll give you an example. September 28th, we have a little less than 200 people here. That's very comfortable. The very next day, we have over 400. And it escalates up into the 800 mark throughout the feast, okay? So as a home fellowship, which is what we are, we all get in our places. And I'll tell you a little bit about how we work behind the scenes as the sisters here, and then I'll tell you a little bit about what your day may be like. And I really appreciate the question because I can tell that you're wanting to get in there. You know, you're wanting to know a little bit about what's going on so you can be a part. So we have a facility down the hill called, I say down the hill because I'm currently up the hill in the tabernacle that you see every Shabbat. And that's where I'm inside right now. I'm inside the sound room where the camera rolls and, you know, films pastor every Shabbat. So I'm up the hill, down the hill. There's parking at an offset location. Not by the dining hall this year, offset location. Pastor had a really good Facebook Live. Give me that link, please, Sister Sakina, with all the information that he put out about the feast. And we have parking up the hill near this tabernacle, okay? You'll get really acclimated with the entire area when you arrive here. If you go somewhere wrong, you're going to get redirected. You choose where you want your tent. We have uphill and downhill locations. You're going to find a spot, basically. You're going to want to consider where the noise is at night if you don't want to be around it, or if you want to be around the lights and the noise towards the end of the night. Usually there's going to be somewhat of a curfew or a time. Pastor usually announces for us to consider one another after a certain time. But we have a facility up the hill that we currently feed all the saints in. So there's a serving team, and we have a Be a Blessing list that we've posted and put out that we have nowhere near, within 18 days away, nowhere near reached any of the expectations that we have for the paper goods. I know that it's difficult to get them for maybe even some of you, but it is something that we are going to have to purchase as a community if it doesn't begin to come in. To anyone who has sent anything, thank you so much. We've done a count of our inventory in both locations. That's Grandma Vicky. She does that. So Sister Carolina is in charge of the storage room. This feast, I'll give you an example. This feast, Sister Carolina is in the storage room. She will keep things stocked, and she will also be in communication with the kitchen on any canned goods or 50-pound bags of flour that we need. The 50-pound bags of flour is held at Deacon Bell's house and carried by a couple of young brothers every day up to the kitchen, because the flour freezer that we usually use is now packed with food, okay? So we usually have a flour freezer in the freezer building, and we pull it out, stuck it in our house, and made it really easy for the brothers to come grab. During the feast, we'll use, you know, 50-pound bag a day, easy. We order 2,000 pounds of chicken. A large majority of that, if not all of that, will be gone according to our menu and what we serve each of you. So we processed 2,000 pounds of chicken yesterday. So inside the freezer building, there are certain requirements. There are certain things that are held in our freezer building. So I assigned a sister this year to be the overseer of the freezer building, to maintain it, and to also get out each day's meat on time, to thaw it on time, and to get it to the refrigerator truck or to the kitchen where it will be cut and brined and prepared by each cook. So there's a sister assigned to that. Like I said, you have Sister Carolina who's over the storage room. You have a sister who is Sister Diane in charge of the refrigerator truck. We have an 18-wheeler that is packed with refrigerator items on the left and right-hand side all the way down to the back. As we thaw 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 gallons of meat, we say gallons because they're in gallon baggies, but it would be hundreds of pounds. as we thaw them. It's all marked for the day in the cook. It's all dated and prepared, stacked in boxes and organized. We have all dairy items, eggs, anywhere from 55 dozen to 65 dozen in a morning, one day. So everything is marked and carried over by Sister Diane, and sometimes, often, Sister Candace from another community is also working with her. Louisa helped her from Texas last year. So we reach out in advance to try to find a helper to fill in the spots that we need. I usually assist or direct the Chow Hall, which is a facility up the hill. It used to be the old tabernacle. We try to hold 200 minimal people each shift in there. And I oversee the products, the team leads, the servers, what each one of them does. We have a team of brothers that are assigned to picking up the food at a certain specific time and location down the hill in the kitchen every meal, every day. The kitchen and the cooks from other communities as well as here, everyone who cooks, marks the food with how much is in each cambro, which is a nice insulated carrier that Pastor has bought us. So much use to those things. So a team picks it up, and I have a sister, Sister Bobby, assigned to seeing those items, the food, the utensils, the pot holders, the water, the tea, everything that is needed. She will see it off. She will meet them every morning, let's say 7:30 a.m. She'll be at the door. She'll have a list that's already pre-planned and pre-written and pre-typed up like a spreadsheet. She'll check it off for every single breakfast and dinner because your utensils change. So down to pots and pans that you use, whether you use aluminum pan, deep dish, what we call shallow, or a roaster, whatever you serve it in, whether you have a ladle or a spatula, all that has to be assigned because if it's not, we just won't have what we need. So each day we set out a menu. Mother assigns what we're going to eat every single day from the 28th all the way to October 11th because that's the day that the saints are going to be here. She assigns the menu. I look at it. I see how many people, according to Sister Vicky, typing up how many is arriving and how many is departing. I put arrivals and departures on each day. I do the math for the food. We assign what meal needs a paper plate, a cup, a bowl, a spoon, a knife, a fork, jelly or not, butter or not. That all gets assigned, a.m. or p.m. We put up a chore list that says, I need you to wash dishes at this certain time, which is usually before breakfast, after breakfast, and then a dish team that receives the dishes from the chow hall after all the shifts. Okay, so you sign up for that. You'll see the chore list. I'll explain that in a minute. You sign up for when you want to do dishes because dishes roll all day. Then we have a noon dish team, a 2 p.m. dish team, a same thing for dinner, dinner dish team, and then a team of dishes to receive everything from up the hill to wash it, put it by the door of the kitchen for Bobby to see it the next morning to have her list to check it off and to send everything up all over again. Okay, so you got Bobby in her place, you got Carolina in her place. Sister Sarah receives the Be a Blessing stuff with Carolina and walks them to a second, we have a second facility, a small old cook shack. It's all nice with shelves and repainted and looks great. So if there's any Be a Blessing overflow from the storage room so that it's not all bulky and sitting around or obstructive and in the way, it's in our second facility. So we have a sister that literally receives it and carries it over. We have Sister Jordan. I ask her to please monitor the refrigerators in the dining hall. They have to be cleaned every day. All leftovers have to be monitored to be incorporated in the next immediate meal. Right, or froze, or if we didn't have leftovers, that's perfect numbers. But every single morning after all breakfast shifts, she'll receive and she'll put away. I have someone assigned to washing aprons and serving shirts, the things that we will wear as your serving team. So our aprons get brought back up the hill on our next shift. You'll have an armband. Usually, first come, first serve. You arrive on the 28th, you're going to get a certain color. You arrive on the 29th, you're going to get the same color till we stop at a certain number, and that's going to be your first shift. Our first shift eating up the hill will be once we hit over, 150, 200, which is the 29th. We usually try to eat down the hill as much as possible just to give everyone room to run up and down the roads unloading. As Pastor said, we don't want the traffic on the roads hindering the trucks with the food. But, of course, you need to come and drop off and set up your tents. So the day of arrival is usually a down the hill eating experience. Our Shabbats are an open breakfast bar, so we don't eat up the hill on Shabbats. We just have, you know, 2.5 to 3 hour breakfast, and anyone comes or not. So we have teams of dishes on the chore list. We have teams cleaning certain facilities. Mama Nelly is in charge of cleaning the tabernacle, and it gets pretty disastrous. You can imagine how muddy or nasty it may get. And she's very clean, so she has a very high standard. And so she has a team that she gets together to keep up the work of the facility every feast, every year, and then she'll tell you when it's time to go up. If we have a mass deliverance at night and we got an early service the next morning, you might be cleaning in the middle of the night, right? So the cleaning teams are on call. We'll have teams harvesting green beans this year because our green beans are still growing. We're still harvesting twice a week right now. We just uprooted 6 very large concrete beds of green beans that gave us a large amount of green beans for the year. And right when we uprooted them, the next one's ready to harvest the very next week. We have 6 very large beds of green beans that are currently in harvest. Pastor had mentioned there's range days. So we'll go to the next question on this email in just a moment because it is pertaining to the range. But there are teachings. My sisters, there are teachings. Brother, our teacher Eric and Brother Eric will be teaching for us. Pastor had said that on his Facebook link. Thank you, Sakina, for that. Pastor Corey will be doing a teaching. Pastor Dow will be holding the Shabbat services. He even mentioned maybe a healing service. There's a baptism. Usually he'll ask you to raise your hand if you want to be baptized. Sometimes he'll visually get a look at the audience to see who needs him and get some helpers and head down. A lot of things are word of mouth. A lot of things are word of mouth. Hey, this is going on. This is, you know, so if you're told something by word of mouth, you're going to believe it, right? Last year, we had a huge scramble because the word of mouth telephone game got really, really messed up. So I hope that you hear the correct information. I also wanted to say about the word of mouth, the pattern that I will often see, my sisters, is when you're told something, this is what I hear a lot. Hey, today Purple's eating at 4:30 because range, or today Purple's eating at 4:30. Usually it's only because of the Sabbath. We don't know when Shabbat message is over, and then food time is announced immediately. If someone doesn't catch it, Mother Jennifer, I get a lot of this. Well, no one told me. And I say, you're being told now. Mother, what do you say?
You know, Sister Ashley, it's very important that people really listen to the instruction that they are going to be given when they get to Straightway. It is very important because Sister Ashley just rattled off just a little bit, not even a tenth of what they go through to prepare logistically to receive everyone. And so if one thing is thrown off, then it could really wreak havoc. It could cause something to be so unorganized. And, you know, Straightway, they're very organized people. They really are. And so you want to make sure that you do what you're told. This is not going to be a time to question what you're being told. If someone that lives on the land gives you instruction, then you need to follow it. Someone in an authoritative position gives you instruction on where you need to be, what you need to be doing, then you just need to follow it. They don't need to hear back talk. They just don't need to hear any type of contention, or they don't need to hear your suggestions or anything like that. They've got it all figured out. They just need you to follow. And I wanted to say, if you sign up to do a job, then you need to make sure that you are present to do that job. Just like Sister Ashley talked about the tabernacle and how the tabernacle gets pretty dirty because of there's so many people that are in and out and the standards that Mama Nelly has. Mama Nelly does not need you sharing with her on how, you know, something needs to be clean. She's been doing this for years. She just needs you to follow her instructions. If you're assigned to doing dishes, you know, there's a specific way that dishes are done at Straightway. We don't need you doing dishes at Straightway the way that you do dishes at home. There's a different standard. So you may think that you understand and that you know how to do things, but when you arrive on that land, things are different. The standards are different. So you need to make sure that you are there and that you are willing to work and that you're willing to really lighten the load. They've planned for months and months to receive us. So we just need to really be gracious and do our part, do what we need to do. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. We have a list in the dining hall, and we've received everyone, you know, if you've heard Pastor's video, the cutoff has already happened. So we've stopped at a certain number, okay? So we just hit over 800, and we're cut off. So everybody who's coming is coming. Hallelujah. Let me explain why your time that you're coming actually helps us. It's not a requirement. It's actually not mandatory that you tell us the time that you're arriving. We do have, when you call, we do ask you, and let me explain why. If you are coming for breakfast, you're included in our breakfast number, and if you're coming in for dinner, you're included in that number, and we also would like each one to know our dinner times. All right, we got maybe 2 to 3 shifts for breakfast, 2 to 3 shifts for dinner. Okay, so if you are not going to be here by dinner, then you'll be here for a snack. Great. But this year, for example, I have over 200 unknown times. That means that it's difficult or challenging to actually come up with numbers on when to feed you. If you know your time and you can call in and let us know, that's wonderful. Hey, we're eating dinner with you on the 29th. Right? If you don't, and we don't have the numbers, that's fine too, because I'm very used to that, and we just shoot in the dark and try to aim for the best possible scenario we can and feed everyone at a certain time. Most people don't arrive for breakfast, and most people will fall at the dinner time. So it always works. But just so you know, that's a scenario that comes up a lot, because you might not know what time you're coming. You might not know what time you're leaving or traveling here. Anything can happen, but you didn't think about the other 199 people that happens to too. So if you called and you told us you're coming and you know your time, absolutely you can call back in. Absolutely. If not, it'll be all right. It always works out. We have a playground for your children, my sisters. We do. It's open pretty much around the clock. Your supervision is really necessary. We don't desire that any child go out into the street or the roads. It is a busy area that the playground is beside of, but it has a lovely fence around it too for your children to stay inside. We have a small basketball court, pavilion, picnic tables, all these things, just as I mentioned last week. You know, Pastor built these things literally right on time. I mean, you see him go out and start a picnic table, go out and start laying block or pouring concrete for a pavilion. And at that time, we weren't getting a lot of people, you know. And then, boom, next feast was like, wow, so glad we got this pavilion. You know, same thing happened with the new tabernacle. So we just follow his lead. We really do. So there will be a booth, like a sign-in booth, if you want to call it that, usually right outside the chow hall, wherever our pastor tells us to put it, that's where we put it. It's myself and another sister there this year on the 28th to give you all the information. It's really information center. It really is, from the coffee times in the morning to you getting an armband. If your community desires to eat together, that's something we can know in advance. You can call and leave that message in advance, and we'll make sure your armbands are reserved for a certain amount of people at that time. So we do breakfast, then we do early dinner, and then we do snack, and then we repeat. That's going to be your day. Everything else inside of that day is you signing up on the chore list for however much you want to be involved in, depending on your child care that you need. It's not orderly for you to have your husband watch your children while you sign up for everything. It is orderly for him to give you direction on what he may want you to do while he can care for his children, if that makes sense. So you definitely want to involve him in the things you sign up for, or his expectations. If he has a range day, then he's not going to watch his children or be involved. So don't be offended. You get his, you know, get your direction from him. Follow his pattern, what he's doing when he comes here. Pastor mentioned having a bricklaying class, maybe even a butchering class. There's classes for the brothers, and we'll get to the next question about the range for the sisters soon. Let me wrap this up. We have Brother Shannon that brings, bless his heart and soul, body and mind. He brings his smoker every year. It's a very large smoker on wheels, if you can picture a little small, like, trailer. It's wonderful. And so I set up a schedule for him to smoke our meat at what time, when to get it back to the kitchen, how much, when to get it thawed, when to get it salt brined, all that. We take care of that part. We give it to him when I said we need to give it to him, and then he gets it to the kitchen when we said he needs to get it back to the kitchen. So I have a sister making a spreadsheet for me. Sister Alex is in Indiana or in Straightway Goshen, and Sister Chris allows her to work with me consistently. I'm almost on the phone with her every day. I give her updates. I tell her exactly what I want her to type, and I tell her to email it to me, and that's how it rolls. We have two refrigerators on the porch, and those refrigerators hold Straightway ice, which is off limits to anyone visiting because the ice is accounted for, and we need it for our meals and for our drinks at night and in our coolers. So you must have your own cooler if you want your drinks and your own ice. Remember that. We have a personal refrigerator. We call it personal because it's the saints on the land that live here put their personal items in it year-round if they need refrigerator use. For the brothers, they sweep and they mop our facilities. We have a deacon helps get a team together to pick up the food down the hill, also to bring down the leftovers and all the trash after every meal. Okay, he does that each year. And then if there's any firewood or things needed for Brother Shin, and he gets that together as well. Some of our elders and leaders will delegate the parking, or, you know, just really be on call running around. Our brothers on the land are extremely busy as well. It's an honor. It's truly an honor. We're doing for you what you would do for us. You know, if I came to your house, I know you would do the same thing. So I think I can wrap it up, but the airport runs are to be considered as well. Your airport runs are pretty much day and night, middle of the night, wee hours of the morning. Make sure you thank the person that picked you up sincerely, because their day was probably slammed busy, their night was a late night, their morning was an early morning, and they love you, seriously love you enough to get you and get you on time. We put a lot of, Elder Becker and Sister Diane put a lot of care into organizing who's going to get you, and they expect that person to pick you up on time. Please call us if anything happens, delay or any information we could have early to, you know, I guess just perfect any mistakes that we can make from the airlines, not on our end, but the airlines. You know, Sister Vicki Milks, she also, what I do is I'll take one sister from the land and I'll assign them everything that I do. Mother will oversee and confirm, by the way, but all these things that I help her with is so that pastor's family can do what they need to be doing, which is already maxed out. Right, so I'm trying behind the scenes, as well as the sisters that work and support Pastor, we're trying to just make sure it flows smoothly for each of you so that he has nothing but great things to say. That's just the truth. So if his family can do what they need to be doing, that means behind the scenes, an overseer from each community. I'll give you an example. Kansas City has a cooking day, for example, and I take someone and I sign them over them, so that they can tell them where all the dishes are, how to clean the oven properly, because we just got a new oven. So each community off the land, you should get instructions on how to clean the oven before you use it. And that overseer will help you find things, help you make sure that you receive your meat out on time from Sister Marshala, who is in charge of that, et cetera. So there's just a lot of little networking going on. Sister Vicki milks the goats, and she's also an overseer. She will have her B2G products. Mother Care will have her KRL products. If you want to sell anything, please leave a message for myself or Mother. Mother approves everyone, and I'm just keeping a running list for her if you leave. Some people have left, you know, your message for me. I literally just pass it to her just to try to be the one gathering information and not taking her time. I don't know. Anything else? What's up, Mother?
I think yes, you've okay. covered. Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Sister Sakina typed in. So the 20th is the cutoff for the store information. If you're not going to tell us by the 20th, then please don't sell anything, okay? If you want a table and you want to sell something, leave a note, call the dining hall, let Mother mother know. However you get that message to her is fine. You can choose me to pass it up. It doesn't matter. But the 20th is the cutoff for that. We also, on the 20th, Mother Jennifer, I don't know if you know this kind of thing happens, but this started a few feasts ago or a few years ago, and it's really wonderful and productive. There's a day that Mother approves and Pastor approves for us to it's a community land cleanup day where we actually just, you know, knock out cleaning the facilities or any of the last-minute prep work, et cetera. So all the offlanders who I love so dearly, the Swalls, we call them Swalls, straightway off-land saints, they come to the land. Sometimes even their husbands come to the land, and we get a lot done. It looks really beautiful. Whether or not we had them or not, we would knock it out. But to have them, I really, really love my Swalls. So just want to shout out and thank them. Anything, Mother Jennifer, on your mind?
You know, Sister Ashley, I wanted to, I know you've run off quite a bit of items to remember, but I wanted to go back to the meal times. If you are told that you are eating at a certain time, you need to make sure that you stick to that time, because Sister Ashley is going to come up with a schedule based on, you know, what she thinks will balance out properly as far as mealtime. So if we're having 2 to 3 groups eating at different times, you need to make sure you stick to that time. If you miss your mealtime and you show up on somebody else's mealtime, then you're going to throw something off completely. So please make sure that you follow the instruction that you're given. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Last year, for example, each feast we learned something new, and we benefit. You know, last year there were a lot of to-go plate requests. Like a lot of brothers would ask for a to-go plate. They needed to zoom in, grab their plate, and go. Or a lot of wives would ask for a to-go plate for their husband who was not here. So that was something I didn't know was going to occur. And this year we have some to-go plates that we're going to, you know, where he actually has the dividers, and you can fold it and close it up. So I asked Sister Carolina to please send them up to the chow hall for me. Everything is accounted for, from chairs to seats to napkins, spoons, silverware, the teams that are put together to help each meal. We contact early to get their availability, to hopefully never overwork anybody, you know, trying not to give anyone double shifts, meaning if you work in the a.m., you don't work p.m., oftentimes wanting to give you a break and not day-to-day and back-to-back. But some of you are very willing and want to be there every day, so we take that information too. I give Alex everything, and I say, type this, type this, type this. Get it back to me by this time. Get it back to me by this time. Reach out to this person. Tell them this. You know, coordinate some of those things. So Judas calls it. Just a few few more things about tabernacles, and we'll kind of go a different direction. My sisters will finish this email too. Judas calls it, like Pastor mentioned, please have clean clothes. Anywhere from infant to your age or older, just anyone who would benefit from these clothes, anyone might come by and grab them. It's free. We're just sharing. So if you have old infant clothes, baby clothes, any age, toddler, child clothes, adult clothes you want to get rid of, Sister Charmaine works the Judas closet every year. I will get with Sister Charmaine. I'm throwing it out there because Pastor had mentioned it on his Facebook. So I'll get with Sister Charmaine, and if there's any information that she wants me to say openly, that happens behind the scenes too, because I come on the show and I just kind of communicate, you know, her expectations. But, of course, having them cleaned and, you know, folded nice and neat, or she'll have it set up somewhere, and you'll visibly see the sign or the area, and you'll just drop it off. Please only give what you would want someone to wear. Don't just use it as an opportunity to get rid of the things that you have and gut your closet and then leave us with tons of clothes, which has happened before, and we're taking it off to the thrift store, right? So just give your best of what you don't want anymore. Remember my daughter, Judith, right? She's my spiritual daughter, Judith, I promote her table. Brother Scott and Sister Angelica have not asked me to promote her table. I promote the table that she will have this year at the store. She is in second grade, and I have the benefit of helping her learn and helping her gain her education, so she's special to me. But she will have targets that she's selling. If you are into practicing with your firearm and you would like to take these targets home with you or whatever you want to do with them, please stop by and grab one for a quarter. Check her table out. I wanted to, last thing, I think it's the last thing, Mother Jennifer, check this out. So I asked Vicky, Grandma Vicky, you know, about the usage of the paper goods that we you know, gain or try, we put it on the Be a Blessing, right? And we were just sitting down doing the math based on what she says we already have, right? And so if y'all think about this, this was pretty amazing. We were writing this down, right? Paper goods are on the high necessity. Like if you're still going to bring something or grab something or send something to us, paper goods is chief on the list. And we will use, we still need 4,000 bowls. We still need 13,000 plates. We still need 14,000 forks. Still need 3,000 spoons or 6,000 cutlery sets. We still need 10,000 8-ounce cups, equaling, oh goodness, I think it was the 12-ounce cups, was it 18,000, Mama Vicky, something like that. Well, anyway, that then her math was actually like we would use 24,000 plates all week long if you just had one at each meal. And there's, I'm just giving a good guess, like if there's 800 people or a little over 800, right? You're going to have 24,000 cups, 24,000 plates, right? Just giving a good guess. But I was like, wow. And if everybody just used two napkins, it's going to be somewhere between 40 to 48,000. And you know we're going to, most of us are going to use more than two napkins, right? So just considering everything when you come, you know, considering everything is worth it. Also, behind the scenes, one of the things that happens is printing signs. I reach out to Sister Hannah every year, and she'll print and even laminate signs for us. We'll label every freezer. This freezer has butter. This freezer has cheese. This freezer has chicken. This freezer has beef. This freezer has vegetables. You know, this freezer, et cetera. And so she'll label them and stick them on there. This freezer or this refrigerator is for salad and produce only. This refrigerator is no personal items at all, which Mother said, no personal items in our refrigerator in our kitchen currently until after the feast is over. We also don't, the on-land saints do not take any of our homegrown eggs all the way through the feast so that we can save them for you. It's what you would do for us. So, you know, one of the things that you can do is, I think, as Pastor's always said, you know, every feast gets better, and it's just the truth. It's like every calendar that Brother Steve and Sister Wanda make is better. Every feast gets better. It really is, and I have high expectations just like each of you. I have a lot on my mind mentally during the feast, but I don't ever want you to think that you can't come to me, ask me something, follow me somewhere, go where I go. Same with the online saints here. Don't ever think we're so occupied that we won't, you know, fellowship or that we would deny you our time, and that's the truth. You know, a lot of times I'm focused on the next day, next meal, next item, or I'm running to check, count, and move on, you know, so that you're taken care of. And same with our brothers, you know, don't go by our faces, you know, don't fear our faces. If you need us, come to us, ask us anything. We support our shepherd wholeheartedly and 110%. We are on the seal of his pastorship, and it's the least we could do is be here for you and be a high standard and good example. He's deserving. Our shepherd's deserving of that. If you use our showers, dry them out, wipe them out, get them ready for the next guy behind you. I think the feast would get better if there was less lost and found, more tents placed in their bags and taken home by you or put in storage. This is just me talking because we have hundreds of tents usually left up you know, for the saints that live on the land to kind of clean up afterwards. We have so much lost and found, and I actually understand what happens, because you'll carry a jacket because it's cold outside, you'll leave it inside because it's hot inside, and then you'll go home without it, you know, or same with headlights and flashlights and Bibles and electronic devices. It's incredible what gets left behind, and we always want you to reach out to us so we can send it back to you. We really do want you to get your things. So if the lost and found would decrease, and the amount of trash that it gets accumulated will get picked up off the ground, I think we can take it to a whole nother level, just, you know, given some positive criticism, that is. But I think I've talked long enough. There's probably so much more I could have even said. But can you go back to that email and read us the rest of her questions?
Absolutely. Okay, she says her second question relates to firearm training. She says, I was so excited when I was told by a couple sisters who have been to the land many times that women are allowed to partake in this to some respect. She says, I'm a responsible gun enthusiast and own a couple of guns, and I have targets, ammo, and all things of that nature. I just want to make sure I know all of the requirements, expectations, and protocols before arriving so I can be respectful as possible. Sister Ashley?
All right, Sister Sakina, come here, please. All right, if you don't know Sister Sakina, you probably will if you have anything to do with the range of the firearms. First, I want to give all praises to Most High Yah for Brother Gideon and those that are coming. Oh, what do they call the other brother coming, the Frogman?
Yes, Frogman.
Right? Thank you. Okay, so I'm thankful that
Brother
the Father. Okay, yes, of course, Brent Craigle, all the security team, every single one of you, Brother Freeman, bless you. So all of them are orchestrated, and they lead us, they protect us very well. And all praises to the Father for these men in our lives, specifically for Shepherd and his house. And just recently, Sister Sakina has been really, if you can say, approved, but, you know, selected, approved, or even chosen, that she would care enough and love each of us enough to not just take on the responsibility of learning how to protect herself, but being able to share what's in her, you know, because she's had some one-on-one time with Gideon. She's shown that she's able and capable, and he's trusting you with leading the sister this year. I don't want to use the word leading because you're actually just teaching. You're showing, right? You're showing. So can you answer this? This sister, okay, she's coming. Maybe she's got her own target. She's got her own ammo. Some women don't. She's got her own gun. Some women don't. Well, what are you going to say to her? What can she do? What's step one?
Step one would be coming back there to the range, forgetting all that you've been taught, because it's a possibility that you don't know what you're talking about when you get here, according to the training that I have received from Brother Gideon. The second thing would be to make sure since you are a gun enthusiast, awesome. But when you come to that range, your weapon needs to be clear. And I'm speaking to you in this manner because you're an enthusiast, so you should understand the terminology very well. You need to come back there. Your weapon needs to be clear before you even come back there. It is a policy on the land that no one outside of the security team should have a bullet in the chamber at all while you're on this land, just in case of accidental discharge or anything like that. So that's the second thing. The third thing would just be come back there expecting to be trained, to be taught how to defend yourself against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and listen and follow all instructions. As Shepherd has already said on his Facebook Live page and has spoken to me, there will be no nonsense tolerated. If you are told to go cold or put your weapon down, that is exactly what is to be expected of you. All directions, every single direction that you will be told is for your safety and for mine. So that's the number one key, is really following all direction instruction given to you when you come back there. It's not a game. It's not social hour. It's not hangout and let's talk about your dress. No, it's focus. Come back there, focus. One thing I will say, Brother Gideon has kind of instructed from the beginning, dealing with any of his classes, is if we're going to be, you know, fellowshipping the night before, that you do not drink any alcohol that would be past your limit or anything really, if you really want to put it in there to have a clear mind when you come to the range.
All right, awesome. So Sister Sakina simply follows the instructions that you're given, right?
Yep.
All you're doing is sharing what a man has told you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see here, she also said, what came to my mind was, okay, she's coming to the first screening, right? Everyone's allowed to that.
Pre-screen.
We call it that pre-screen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if we're going to pre-screen, everybody's allowed. We're coming. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. You're going to show us and you're going to screen us.
Yes, you will be tested before you can even get to the actual class. This is per Brother Gideon. And it basically eliminates those who are not apt at that moment to go through or go forward with the training. Also, just like Pastor said, if you have any health issues, any type of fatigue, you get tired too quickly or things like that, even a weight issue, that's a big thing. And for your safety and for my safety as well, you will not be allowed to attend the class. You will not be allowed to come back there where the pre-screening will be to eliminate any distractions or anything like that. And it's really for your safety. You know, it's a love. For the sisters as well, to show you that, hey, we love you enough to tell you you're not where you should be physically to even defend yourself against someone. So come up a little higher, you know, and then come back and see me, you know, once you've reached that criteria for yourself, personal goals, things like that.
Hallelujah. Thanks for making yourself available and, you know, putting in the time behind the scenes to even get this last question. So on Pastor's Facebook, he had said, he talked a little bit about the dress. You're going
mm-hmm.
to inform anyone
mm-hmm.
based on your communication with shepherds,
yes.
right, if on what you guys should each wear
mm-hmm.
Going forward. So I wanted to address that. Secondly, I learned years and years ago about having a pair of, I guess, pants in my go bag.
Mm-hmm.
What is the term that Pastor called the pants that we
BDUs.
BDUs. And BDUs are really for running, fleeing,
yep.
right? Tell me more.
As it's been explained, when we're in the wilderness and we're trying to flee, your skirt, you're not going to really have no skirt on. And it's painfully obvious that you won't have it. Your skirt will get caught on twigs and branches and debris, things like that. If the bottom of your skirt gets wet, it's going to get heavy. It may fall down. So it's best that you have a pair of pants, working pants. A lot of us wear the camo. You can go to an Army Surplus store and find some, get you a nice size. You don't need anything too form-fitting. You're still in the wilderness. You still want to be as modest as possible even in that. So, yes, that's the term that he used, the BDUs. If you have those, you're more than welcome to come back there with those. You will have those underneath your skirt. Everything that he spoke of on the video, you will have those underneath your skirt when you come to the pre-screening. Do not come back there with just pants on and no skirts. You won't get rebuked by me, but I promise you, there will be somebody before you even get close to the range that will rebuke you because that is unacceptable and that's not listening to what Shepherd said. So other than that, it's just we're still waiting on the approval of the leggings. But sweatpants, jogging pants, as some people call them, BDUs, warm-up pants. We had them in basketball, you know, they like windbreakers, those types of things. You want those types of things on underneath your skirt. Once you pass the pre-screening, and we go to the approved location by Shepherd, then and only then will you be able to remove your skirt. That way you can go through the training.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much. You can tell by her speech that she listens and follows instructions, and she's under instructions. So, Mother Jennifer, anything on the firearms question or thoughts?
You know, just what I've said prior, make sure that you follow instructions. Like Sister Sakina said, that is not the time to be rebellious, to practice selective hearing. That is not the time to not take instruction seriously. These are very serious situations, and so it's extremely important to listen and understand that Sakina is getting her instructions from Brother Gideon or from Shepherd. So make sure that you're obeying and not giving any back talk or anything like that. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. You want to wrap up that email? Please finish it for us.
Yes, some of this you already covered, but I think there are a few more things that we can include. It says, last, what are your top lesser known recommendations for necessary items to bring in order to have the most comfortable stay as possible without having to put any undue burden on Straightway. Being that Pastor has been kind enough to open your home to all of us, we want to make sure we can be as self-sufficient as possible and even bring whatever we can give back to the community. Sister Ashley?
Yes, ma'am. Mother Jennifer, I'm going to be humorous for a moment with my little, let's do a top four or five just from Sister Ashley. But can I get a drum roll, Sister Sakina, with number one? All right, thank you. Please bring your offering. Please bring your offering. I could not imagine listening to this word, serving our Yah, and not giving something back to the man of Yah. I really couldn't imagine. That's my Deacon Bell's master's house. That's how we live. That's our heart. You know, that's our heart. You give. You give until it feels better than receiving. You understand? Bring your offering, please. Secondly, all you really need, everything else is just necessity. All you really need is water, a tent, blankets, and some soap, right? You want to stay clean so that you're not getting sick or passing any sickness. You keep your hands clean, your body as clean as possible. And just like any, if you can just imagine a camping experience, that's all you want to mimic. You know, what would your family require? What would your husband want? You know he's hungry at noon, right? You know he wants some trail mix. He wants some snacks. You know he wants coffee at 6 a.m. Okay, we got that, right? So you just kind of go through your day like, okay, I'm in a tent. It's a great experience for me. You need rain boots, which I call dew boots. Dew boots because we got so much dew. I'm saying D-E-W. That it's just wet. Every morning is wet. We're blessed with the moisture of this land. We really are because we're beside of a creek. Your children are usually going to have a day or two or even more, whatever you allow, in the creek or by the creek or playing. I mean, they're going to get dirty or muddy, you know, so you want to consider just having a really good experience. You, the Most High, in the wilderness, you know. Some women love to go to their tent and pray in the middle of the night. Some. You know, I talked to those women, and we just reflect on what our nights are like. You know, some of you just love to sit at the pavilion, you know, and watch your children play, you know, and really maybe even take someone else's child and watch them as well, so they can clean the shower house. You know, it's an opportunity for you to function tribally and to consider someone else. You know, we can't open our laundry facility for everyone, so since we can't, we shut it down for everyone. And that's honorable, you know. So those of us who live on the land, we'll stop doing laundry before the 28th. And we won't do laundry until October 11th or after the 8th, after the 9th, you know, after everyone leaves. The only laundry we do is daily kitchen towels and daily aprons and serving uniforms. So that's already a regimen and a schedule. But other than that, we can't. You'll have to maybe get to town and wash your laundry, or you'll have to pack enough to make it through. Hallelujah. So offering, water, tents, blankets, and soap. There's so much more, I know, but maybe bring some trash bags for your dirty laundry, trash bags for your trash. Hallelujah. What do you think, Mother Jennifer?
One thing that Mother Carol mentioned was to make sure that you bring your own cup. You talked about the paper goods that you all go through, Sister Ashley, and she said it would be very helpful if everyone brought their own cup. So if you have a steel cup or a plastic cup, if it's a Yeti, an Orca, whatever you have, make sure you bring it. And that way you don't have to continually use the styrofoam cups, and Straightway can, you know, keep more of their cups for other people, for meals or what have you. But if everybody could bring their own cup, it would really make things easier. Sister Ashley?
Thank you. Yes, if you bring your own cup. I can't stress the importance of water. We purchase a lot. We distill a lot. We have reverse osmosis. We have so much water that we try to kick off the feast with and try to always have for you. But even my husband, Deacon's home, always purchases water every feast, so not to take from the whole. So it would help greatly if you had your water bottles or your jugs, et cetera. Our Walmart's only going to have so much, so if you're traveling by car and you can bring the snacks and the water that your family will need, that's wonderful, because I wouldn't bank on this Walmart carrying your supplies. I would not. I mean, before COVID-19, half the time stuff was off the shelf. So it's just not reliable, and to have this amount of people come to a small town like this, it takes a hit. But water and snacks, you know, water and snacks. Unlike Passover, where you have to bring the unleavened snacks, this is, snacks for of whatever kind, whatever you'd like. And if you would like to bring your own alcoholic drink or a beer or some kind of relaxing, drink for your evenings, consider bringing one for someone else as well. So I think majority of each person really has that mind. I know the communities do. The communities that are bringing food and cooking and serving, they also consider, the brother right beside of them and the tent beside of them, So really make your need known. Make your request known when you get here. If you need direction, we'll send you. A lot of times what we pass out as women on the land, or at least from my perspective and the few sisters that I have spoke to each year, it's common to pass out blankets. That's really common. Blankets and towels, shower items are often forgotten. So we have those things. We will give until our blankets are gone. We actually, Grandma Barbie and one of them, she stashes a huge supply. I say huge, but what, 10, 15 blankets, Grandma Barbie, if you're listening? I know she Well, she's 20? Wow. She has 20 blankets. She's one woman, covered by Israel, one woman in one house, and she keeps 20 blankets year-round so that she can always supply. Sister Tomoko is the same way. I can't tell you how many times I went to her house for a blanket for someone because I've given all mine out. We do the same for towels. And respectfully, if we give something out to you from on land, please return it. We lose a lot of items each year because it doesn't get passed back. And one thing that happens also is after your baptism and you put your clothes on the line, year-round those clothes get forgotten. Matter of fact, the brother that got baptized 2 weeks ago, his laundry was on the line the next day after he left and took his airport run back out. But that's pretty common. You got your wet stuff, you throw it on the line, and you just forget about it. So, or you have multiple children, and you don't know that they left things laying around. Know what you brought as a mother so that you can take it all back. Because I don't know where my son left something, but I know I brought it. It's like, hey, we in the dining hall, you brought, where's your fishing pole? Oh, it's at the, okay, well, go get it. We're going home. That's on you, mother. That's on you. Hallelujah. All right, so what else? What else, Mother Jennifer? I got a few questions for you. We're already cut into a whole hour has gone by. Hallelujah. And I'm gonna ask you a couple of questions. You ready for them?
Yes, I am ready.
All right, so these are for us. The world calls you a single woman, a single sister, if you don't have someone that you're married to, okay? In the world, they say it's awesome to be single forever, and single life is better than a relationship. And depending on who you're listening to, there's all kinds of, I love being single. Most of the time, being single in the world doesn't mean that you're without sexual relations, and that's where there's sin. So as a woman coming out of the world and coming into the faith, we have always shared with you our leadership's mind for the women, that you are cared for, that you are loved, and that you are accepted, okay, chiefly by the Most High Yah, and that there is fruit that you must produce. And a lot of times what happens is because you haven't been loved and you don't have a father in the faith, you would still call yourself single, right, because you don't have a father in the faith. But what happens oftentimes is you can get caught up in the drivenness to be married and forsake your first love, and it's a wonderful desire to be covered. It's absolutely wonderful. But at the same time, you're just starting off. Don't aspire to be as mature as a Mother Carol who's been married 30 years, right? And you just came in, early 20s or in your teens or whatever. Just be exactly what Yah needs you to be. So my questions, Mother Jennifer, are basically around, this came up a little bit this week, more than twice, and here the men choose you, you know, and that's already an order that is not common in the world, and by that stipulation in relationship that you know as a woman coming in, okay, the man is going to choose me, you know what happens, right? It gives room for rejection to manifest in you automatically. Now, ain't been rejected by nobody, but automatically rejection has a voice because a man hasn't asked for you yet. You're just here, or, you know, you've been here this amount of time, and et cetera. So that's time to really cultivate a relationship with the Father and let him be your all in all and your fulfillment and allow the natural things to come, the relationship to come. But, okay, as a single woman, and I use the terminology only because, Mother Jennifer, they use it in the world, but what can we call a single woman in the faith? We're going to say a covered woman, right, but she doesn't have a father in the faith, and she doesn't have conjugal rights or provider, okay? So you are a sister without a natural provider. If you are a sister in this ministry without a natural provider, maybe you have your own job. Maybe, depending on your age, you live at home with your family. Mother Jennifer, how can she or should she tithe? How can she give offerings to the ministry? How do you instruct her?
You know, Sister Ashley, a woman in Israel is in, you know, women are intended to be covered from cradle to grave. So, and the covering is based on your obedience. And I just want to go back to something that Sister Chandra shared with the women a while back. And she said that, you know, before she got covered by Elder, that she was never thinking about a man. You know, she just wanted to serve the Father. That's all she wanted to do. And before she moved here, before she got onto the community, you know, she gave what the Father put on her heart to give. So coming out of Christianity, she understood that, you know, you give 10%, but she gave even beyond that because she understood what the word says when it says that we give all. So she gave her time, you know, she gave her money, she gave her heart to the Father, she gave her obedience. It wasn't just a sometimey thing that, okay, I'm going to obey, I'm going to live holy now, and then next week I'll do whatever I want to do. Or if I'm told to do something, then I'll decide if I'm going to do it or not, if it sounds right. So it's really about giving all. And if you're not in a community setting, then you determine in your heart, the Father knows what you need to be given. He understands what you need to give. And Elder speaks about this too, about how people give based on conditions. You know, they have conditions set in their heart on how they want to give. So let's say if they're not comfortable giving their money, or if they're not comfortable giving what is required of them as far as their money is concerned, then they make up in their mind themselves what they decide to give. And that is based on conditions. So Yah has already plotted out and mapped out, you know, what our obedience should be. We just have to walk in it. And I can't stress enough that, you know, women are covered. The intent is to be covered from cradle to grave. The problem is, the problem comes in when women don't want to obey, you know, when there's no obedience to really be covered. A man can't cover you if you're not going to obey. And I'm not even talking about in a sense of being married to that man. I'm talking about really listening and obeying the leadership, the ones that are over you, obeying those who have rule over you, obeying the shepherd that has been placed over you. You know, being given instructions and then just deciding not to follow it. And you just kind of become your quote unquote, your own woman, because that is what the world has taught you. So I hope that answers your question, Sister Ashley.
Yes, ma'am, it does. There's a lot of scenarios. I know when we're speaking this openly, you know, there's a lot of listeners who, you know, maybe you don't have it to give. and you need to set your affairs in order, and you need to, you know, stock up and do those things. But really seek Yah on how you can give, you know, how you can be more more of a giver. You know, we should all be givers by spirit and by nature. And if you're an independent woman and you're older and you have it to give, it's to your shame that you haven't. It really, really is. It's not no intention to condemn you, but I knew a woman who was in a part of the ministry for almost 12 years and never gave an offering, who had tons of money. She never gave one, Mother Jennifer. And of course, she's not with us now, but it's not about, you know, what that issue actually was she was, she wanted to control her money her way. So, you know, it's, I'll send Mother Jennifer a apple pie, and I'll get Sister Chandra a head cover, but I'm not going to give to the man of Yah because I don't know what he's doing with it, you know, or I don't trust him. That's what your heart is saying. Though you have hundreds of great men and women that are following great men that trust him, you're going to step out and say, I don't, you know, I'm not going to give because I really, really wouldn't understand or relate to you. I'm thankful and very grateful for Sister Chandra. I'm thankful for each person just right where you are, because the way that we have networked as sisters over the past, let's say, 4 to 6 years, if I speak to someone, I know exactly who to send them to. You know, because we've networked ourselves and grown and matured ourselves as sisters. So who am I going to send you to? Sister Chandra. You know, she's somebody who never sought for a man, though she got covered. And she always gave. You know, and so if you have a problem giving, I'd send you to her. If you have a problem lusting and you haven't even dedicated your life to the Most High, I'd send you to her. You know, for strength. That's what it's about. All right, so keep it in mind. A sister who is covered in the faith now, but yet single, according to Roman American terminology. If she has no father in the faith, no conjugal rights, no provider, but she's in our ministry, she's now covered. How could she be completely submitted to this ministry? How does she know that? What does she do? What does that look like?
There's going to be a contentment in her heart, first and foremost. You know, there's going to be a contentment with whatever her role needs to be. And her role is to actually obey the instructions. So if pastor is saying to make sure that you store food, so say she's not on a community, she lives by herself, she's storing food, you know. If he says that, you know, you need to make sure that you women are trained when it comes to, you know, weapons. Then she's trained as far as weapons. She has a sword. She's getting herself out of debt. She's paying off, you know, bills, and she's not getting herself further into debt. She's following the things that he's been putting out for years and years. You can tell if a woman is submitted because she will follow the things that the shepherd is actually teaching. And she's not just getting herself into more debt and not storing food and putting herself in a situation where she's not prepared. And then she becomes a burden, you know, to someone else. So she's actually doing what she needs to. She's pulling her weight, and she's not expecting to be taken care of. There's no entitlement in her. You know, she doesn't feel entitled for somebody to just come in and just step in and, you know, whisk her off her feet and take her away from all the havoc that she's created in her life. She's getting the deliverance that she needs. She's learning what it means to repent, and she's actually walking out that repentance. So she's obeying the voice of the Most High Yah as pastor is actually, you know, given the instruction each and every day. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So, any question from the background? Let you go. Okay, you can have it to me anytime. All right. So, what about deliverance? All right. She has no provider. She has no one giving her instruction for deliverance. No one answering her questions. But what happens is we can get caught up, Mother Jennifer, in not having that physical person, and longing to have that physical person to give you direction, and not staying focused on what the Holy Spirit can really be for you and do for you, how he can direct you through the word that you're hearing. You know, I have my faith because of the word that I've heard. I wouldn't have my faith in the Most High without those primary examples, shepherd, my husband, whoever, you know, has poured into me or that I've allowed to glean from, right? So we have some, you have, as a woman, a perfect opportunity to set some really beloved examples in your life. And, you know, when one is lacking, you got someone else. You know, we always have our shepherd consistently, but as a woman in the ministry without a provider, how would you instruct her for deliverance? How does she get her answers? Who does she go to, et cetera?
You know, there's plenty of women that she can reach out to. She really needs to learn how to build a bond with her sisters, those who are strong in deliverance and those who have overcome, you know, the things that she's dealing with. And she needs to really follow the instruction that is being given to her and to really not be discouraged and to not feel alone. A lot of times the devil can really whisper in your ear and try to cause you to feel like, you know, you're alone and that you're not doing anything and that you'll never be free, you'll always be bound. You know, these are all lies. So she really has to have a good support system in her sisters. And that is really how she's going to be able to gain the freedom that she needs, is that strong support system. And, you know, she can't be discouraged at the fact that she's by herself, or she can't think that there's nothing that she'll be able to do as far as deliverance because she's on her own. You know, she can do the work that needs to be done. She can learn how to bind spirits that are trying to work in her. She can learn how to submit to Yah so that she can resist the devil and the devil can actually flee. And she can get to a point where she can plan on, you know, maybe getting to Straightway or getting around a community so she can get the deliverance that she needs. So she can make the plans that she needs to make, but there's work that she can do in the meantime before she can get around saints to get the deliverance that she needs. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So I have one question in front of me, and I have another question on email. I'm going to put the two together without reading either one of them, because I'm going to show you the pattern. All right, so you're coming to a healing ministry, and you want everything healed, right? You want to manifest the belief that it can be healed. You want to see it, you know, as Pastor's been terming lately, great expectations for Yah. You should have them. And understanding healing, maintaining healing, not speaking against your healing, desiring your healing, there's a lot to it mentally. But as women, you can get yourself really caught up in all the checklist, the do's and the don'ts. Do I need this, 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 and this? Do I not need that, and that? Do I not need? And you just need faith. Really, you just need faith. So when you can't cross every T and dot every I, and things aren't clear, they don't make sense, you don't understand, do you have faith? I talked to a sister just recently, and she wants to walk out a particular healing that she believes has happened to her. And what's really missing is not the healing. What's really missing is the faith to maintain it. Okay, it happened. You know it's there, but now what's going on, right? Your mind is wavering a little bit, questioning a little bit. So what you actually, in order to maintain your healing, it's really simple. You have to involve your speech. You have to involve your speech because you can't lay down and just believe what's entering into your mind. You can't self-diagnose or misdiagnose yourself as a sister. You'll be misguided, you know, led away, just as Eve in the garden. So you'll listen to the wrong voice. You have to involve your mouth. You know, if I know that I'm healed, then I don't got to run around and tell everybody I'm healed. It's just, I know it, right? I'm going to talk to the Father when I'm cooking. I'm gonna say it if it comes to my mind, like, thank you for healing me, Father. Thank you for healing me. Instead of my mouth is quiet, I'm not saying anything, and I'm just hearing, man, did I really get healed? Like, is this gone? Did it go away? You start questioning, right? And so you're going to involve your mouth. You're going to give praises to the Father continually until what? Until it becomes a belief that you have. So you no longer just had the faith to receive the healing, but now you have the belief by your own confessions. You have the belief. And so by your own confessions, you can also, you know, take away a healing by allowing the questioning in your mind to get you to verbalize that it didn't happen or that it's not there, et cetera. So, you know, there is a thin line, but do you have anything on that note, Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, I think you spelled everything out very well. It's the belief and the getting yourself to the point of not wavering, period, and really having your mind strong, because they're going. It's exactly what Pastor Dow talked about this past Sabbath. You know, really having your mind to the point where you're not going to waver, regardless of what you might see in the natural. So understanding that I am healed, you know, and getting your speech involved, like you said. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. A lot of times the question arises, is it natural, is it spiritual? I mean, that's almost 100% of the hearts of the people when they're, you know, they walk into a healing ministry and you want to get to the root of something. You want to get touched. You want to get healed. And really, if you can just manifest the faith that Yah will prevail in that circumstance, in that situation, Yah will prevail. It's not about a amount of time or an instantaneous miracle. Hallelujah if you get that. We'll blow the shofar. Hallelujah if it takes 2 years to get healed. We'll blow the shofar. You know, but when you recognize that you have a condition and you want to be healed from it, don't allow fear to minister. You know, don't allow fear to take away your faith. You say, Yah can do anything. You can heal me. You can lead me, right? One thing that we need to do as a people is, you know, we can't continue, as Pastor teaches, you can't continue to stay thinking the same way that you've always thought and doing the things that you've always done and expecting change. So if you want to be healed, if I personally want to be healed, I change something in the natural as well. You know, faith without works is dead. I'm not saying that I don't have faith by doing the works. I'm saying, hey, I'm going to show you my faith by my works. I'm going to change my eating. I'm not going to put this in my body for the next 6 months, or I'm going to drink this amount of water or commit to this because I believe as I do it that, you know, Yah is going to heal me, or he's going to prevail, or he's going to use the shepherd to touch me and, you know, do this kind of thing. I'm just sharing with you a personal commitment that you need in your mind when, you know, what you commit to in your body naturally needs to change when you come to the faith, you know, because you've eaten whatever you wanted or, you know, had no limitations. Now we do. Now we do. Does the human body need to consistently consume? No way. You know, does the human body need to consume back to back to back and, you know, every 2 hours full meals? And, you know, it's just not what we were created to put into us. So whatever your husband requires of you to you know, weigh or be like, eat like, cook like, whatever he loves about you, you know, whatever size he loves about you, that's what you want to strive for. And as you're striving for that natural result, you're getting ministered to by the Father. You know, you're denying your flesh. You're resting your flesh. You're resting your gut, because our gut is in extreme, you know, need of healing in this generation. And I don't know. I just encourage you to do both. I encourage you to do both. You know, when you want to conquer a spirit, if you're resisting that spirit with all that is in you, naturally and spiritually, then you don't walk in defeatism. If you're literally doing and meeting the requirement to resist the thing that is before you, then let Yah prevail. It's not about, you know, falling or being wrong or making a mistake. It's not about none of those. It's, hey, I met my requirement. I'm going to keep pressing on. You know, I hope that makes sense. Mother Jennifer.
It does make sense, Sister Ashley. And as you resist and you're walking it out, the Father will continue to give you wisdom on, you know, if there's something that you have not covered or something that you've forgotten or something that you need to confess, he's going to give you wisdom. He may not give it all to you at once, you know, but you have to be in obedience to whatever he is telling you to do. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So maybe you want to, with your great expectation that you have for the feast or for the healing that you are asking Yah for, maybe you want to commit, you know, to fasting. Maybe you want to say, hey, I'm going to, you know, ask my husband, can I do this, this, and this before the feast? Can I fast every third day until the feast? Can I, you know, really put these things in your life, make it a part of your nature so that the expectation's there, the fruit is there, and y'all can meet the need, you know? Not saying that that's a requirement for every one of you, but that's the life I live. That's the life I live. I share it with you. So, you know, I know you have questions about your conditions and about your body and about your nutrients and, you know, this gland and that lung and that thyroid and that kidney. But, you know, without a doctor or a Google telling you about it, would you have been worried? No. Some of you who might have had a more serious condition, yes, obviously you were in great need. You walked on death's doorstep. But for the most of us, we just dug around looking to misdiagnose ourselves and then lay claim to all these symptoms, right? And now we've got all these curses upon us, right? So it's a lot to sort through. It really, really is. But, yes, I encourage you to bring great expectations for the power that our shepherd and those that are anointed have and hold. And I look forward to this feast. I really, really do. I'm going to see a lot of y'all in 18 days. Thanks to the dessert team, Sister Lisa, Sister Ajali, those who literally strategically assign who's going to bake what cake, who's going to bring how many cookies, who's going to have it on what day, how are we going to haul it up to the facility, how are we going to keep it refrigerated so the icing don't melt. I mean, it's all considered. Hallelujah, and I pray that you come just as grateful as you always have. It's an honor to know each of you, and as these days get shorter and as this world changes, I pray that we have such a gratefulness that we treat it like it's our last. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer?
You know, Sister Ashley, I just want to really send my gratitude to Straightway Tennessee for always just joyfully giving their time, their hospitality. You know, it's We learn so much just from Straightway Tennessee, how efficient they are, how well they work together, and just how loving they are. So I just wanted to point that out. And blessings to you, Straightway Tennessee. And we definitely love you all, and your labor of love will never go unnoticed. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Thank y'all for listening as we speak about it. We're consistent about speaking about it as it gets closer to the feast. I pray that we never bore you with the information. You know, I try to change it up a little bit, make it new for each of you so that you can still, you know, follow, understand, and really be grateful yourselves. I thank everyone who is coming together in their community homes and serving the saints Shabbat after Shabbat, Texas. That's a big crew. Bless you, Sister Carell. You know, everybody who's a part of any home that is accepting saints, thank you. Thank you. We should live up to the standard that is preached to us. We should manifest the faith that is given to us, and we should see fruit. You should see fruit in your life, in your husband's house. Thank y'all all so much for listening. 21 days till those tabernacles. Why is it 18? Oh, because it's the 28th. I'm going to see some of you in 18 days. But it's 21 days until the feast. And I always tell Sister Sakina, there's a little behind-the-scenes stuff. You know, when you know people's strengths, you reach out like, hey, Sakina, by the show tonight, tell me how many days we got left. Because about a year ago, I could remember them myself. But now I don't even retain it. I'm just doing other things. So hallelujah for delegating. Bless you, our beloved shepherd, if you were able to hear at all tonight, to you, your house, to everyone in all of Israel. Hallelujah. I pray that the blood covers all our sins, washes all our iniquities. I pray we're staying humble on our faces. Hallelujah. As we patiently await the return of our soon coming King. Hallelujah. Look forward to seeing all of you very, very soon. Mother Jennifer, in the show.
Hallelujah. Blessings to you all, Daughters of Zion. We truly look forward to seeing all of you, and I pray that everyone comes with such a great expectation. And that's all I have. Shalom.